It's that most wonderful time of the day when we get the food mensch. So, voila, the food mensch.
Echo me.
Echo them. As I was saying it, just so you know, I was going, no, let me just say, echo the food mensch. on Robin Hood Radio. Arthur Schwartz on Robin Hood Radio. There.
There we go. I have cabbage on my mind today, which makes me think that my brain has become seasonal. Like, I mean, I woke up this morning and said, ah, it's cabbage time. And it is cabbage time. At least it used to be cabbage time. And what I mean is that you get cabbage all year long now, as you can even artichokes and asparagus, which is sort of crazy to me. But cabbage, no. Anyway, cabbage it stores very well, too. So it has so many things going for it. Where do I start? Let's start with it tastes good, even though a lot of people still think that it stinks, meaning it smells when you cook it. For some reason, in my experience, it only smells when it's boiled. If you cook it in many other ways that you can, it doesn't smell. It's delicious. In fact, I have already started my cabbage season with my favorite cabbage dish, or at least the one I make most frequently, which is cabbage and potatoes with pancetta and a little bit of hot pepper. The pepper depends on your taste. Everywhere in the south of Italy, which I know pretty well, every town you go to, I always ask, oh, what's the most local dish you can think of? And they always come up with something that is a combination of cabbage and potatoes, because these are poor people food, which brings me to the point that my grandparents cooked poor people food as well, because even though they weren't poor, their families came from poverty. And so I have a lot of cabbage recipes, actually, that I make that are Eastern European Jewish. And then there's Italian. But, you know, poor people all over the world eat the same thing pretty much. Well, in Asia, they eat cabbage with rice. And in Europe, we eat cabbage with potatoes. Anyway, back to cabbage, which is the subject of the moment. I made this cabbage and potatoes because I had the potatoes. I saw this gorgeous head of cabbage that I couldn't resist. And I needed to use up some pancetta. Which is to say, then, I use a little bit more pancetta this time than usual. My usual is 2 to 3 ounces of pancetta. This was more like 4 or 5 ounces of pancetta, which I cut into small cubes. And I put into a nice big pot, because I was going to cook a lot of cabbage, at least a 4-quart pot. 5-quart would even be better. And you sauté the pancetta with a little bit of olive oil until the pancetta starts to brown, at which point you put in your sliced potatoes. Now, slice them thick. I didn't weigh the potatoes I put in, but I'm guessing it was a little over a pound of potato. It was 3 nice size, normal, white, all-purpose potatoes. I did peel them, and I cut them in, I would say, half-inch slices. You put the potatoes in the now rendered pork fat in the pan and turn them a few times in the rendered pancetta fat. If a piece starts to brown or a little bit, it's okay. But just an indication that it's time to add the cabbage. Now, for this recipe, I cut the cabbage into squares instead of into shreds, but you can cut it any which way you want. Let me say, I had a nearly 3-pound head of cabbage, which I find the medium head of cabbage is almost all the time. This one happened to be very densely packed, meaning the leaves were very tight. And what I do, no matter what the size of the cabbage is, I cut it in half through the root end, through the core. This takes a little bit of effort. You need a big, sharp knife. And then once you got it cut in half, I then take that core out, meaning I cut a V-shaped cut into the cabbage to release the core. Then I cut that half into quarters, meaning half half again. And now I can cut the cabbage, either straight down in two directions to get those sort of squares of cabbage, or if you are doing shredded cabbage, thin or thick, whatever, you go start at one point of this quarter of a cabbage and just keep cutting down. I say you don't need to salt cabbage. There are so many old recipes that call for salting cabbage before you cook it. I wonder what the cabbage was like back then. I have tried this. I have even salted cabbage to get it to wilt a little bit for coleslaw, as long as a whole day. Very, very little, you know, you shred it and you cut it, whatever which way, and you salt it and put it in a colander and then put a weight on top of it, and almost nothing comes out. So I've decided I'm not doing that anymore. It's interesting that a lot of these recipes call for new cabbage. Well, in my experience, even when I bought the cabbage recently harvested at the farmer's market, it still didn't render any juices. So I don't bother with it. Maybe if you're cooking it to a caramelized, caramelized position, you may take a little longer to get it to brown. But that's about the only difference. Another thing is interesting because I make cabbage a lot, and I used to make it cooked a long, long time to get it caramelized. I don't do that so much anymore. But my friend Roseanne's mother, who was Hungarian, used to make caramelized cabbage all the time, and she said, I used to add an onion, but I discovered it doesn't really make a difference, so don't bother. But if you feel like putting an onion in, you can. Anyway, back to my cabbage and potatoes. After you've turned the potato slices in the fat for a little bit, rinse the cabbage in a colander, and just with the moisture that's sticking to it after you've rinsed it, don't rinse it and let it sit, by the way, because it'll dry out again, and you'll just have to rinse it again. You're rinsing it to wash it, but also to get the moisture. Put as much of the cabbage in the pot as you can fit, really. Some salt. You will need some salt. Potatoes use a lot of salt. So I would put in at least a rounded half teaspoon of salt, maybe a whole teaspoon of salt at this point. Cover the pot. Put it over low heat. If after 10 minutes you haven't rendered some of the moisture from the cabbage, add a few tablespoons of water. Like literally 3 tablespoons of water, and then cover the pot again. And after, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, very carefully with the spatula, turn the potatoes to the top, meaning some of the cabbage or most of the cabbage is now going to be on the bottom or mixed in with the potatoes. One reason I had you cut the potatoes very thick is because I don't want them to totally fall apart during this process. Anyway, it took my potatoes and cabbage about 40 minutes to cook to where I wanted it to, where the cabbage was nicely wilted, the potatoes were totally tender, they had a really delicious flavor from the pancetta. Of course, I added some freshly ground black pepper. But if you wanted it to be a spicy dish, which, by the way, I got this recipe from some friends who live in Naples mainly, but also had a country place in Basilicata, which is even further south. And my friend had a garden, and she grew a lot of cabbage. And she is the one who gave this to me. Now, in Basilicata, they use a lot of hot pepper, just like in Calabria. It's a neighboring region. So this is a good place, by the way, for your Calabrian hot pepper or any hot pepper. And that's it. That's the whole dish. I would say there's a little over a pound of potatoes, and I would say 3/4 of a head of cabbage. I did have extra cabbage I couldn't fit in the pot. Is enough for 2 meals for both Bob and I. So the first meal, we had it really for its own sake. We were on a vegetable day. And then the rest of it I'm going to turn into a frittata. It's in the refrigerator right now. So for about half of that batch, six eggs, and we got another meal out of it. But anyway, this is the season, I have to say, when a lot of my grandmother's food comes to mind, because she made sensational cabbage soup. We called it cabbage borscht. It's cabbage with meat, and I'll give you a recipe in a second. And then she also made stuffed cabbage, which I still love, but I don't make because it's so much work. But I do have a very good recipe for stuffed cabbage in my Jewish home cooking cookbook. But the deal with both of these dishes is that they are, besides flavored with meat, one stuffed cabbage, one with flanken, but they're sweet and sour. So the flanken one, my grandmother used to use flanken to flavor various soups, a mushroom barley soup, split pea soup, the whole deal. So I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Poor people don't make broth. Maybe they put a piece of meat or chicken in the soup to give it some flavor, but they don't make, they don't cook for hours broth and then use that as a vehicle for other things. And so in my grandmother's case, she would just put slices of flanken. Now, if you don't know what flanken is, it's short ribs, except that instead of being cut in the direction of the rib so that you've got meat and fat hanging on a rib, flanken, or these days, by the way, very, very popular among Koreans, and so it's often called Korean ribs, but I call it flanken. And flanken is cut across the ribs. So each slice of meat and fat, I try to find flanken that isn't fatty, which is not easy. But if I do see nice flanken, or short ribs for that matter, that are not too fatty, I buy them because it's not easy to get. It gets cut across the ribs into slices. Could be a half-inch thick slice. One of the recipes that I now use to make sweet and sour cabbage soup is a recipe that I got just, I don't know, maybe it's 20 years ago already. Went to this kosher restaurant in Bay Ridge, in Borough Park, called Crown Restaurant. I do believe it's still there. They may call it the Crown Delicatessen, but it's not. It's a real it's a restaurant. Anyway, I had sensational, what I call cabbage borscht, with pieces of what I figured was chuck in it. Anyway, I was so impressed, I asked to go into the kitchen and talk to the chef, who ended up to be a Polish woman who barely spoke English. And she made this borscht, you're going to laugh, or I hope, based on ketchup.
Now, I am going to laugh. I'm sorry.
I loved the soup, and then I realized when she told me that it was based on ketchup, I realized ketchup has the sweet and sour profile that Eastern Europeans love so much, and of course adopted, Heinz ketchup as a seasoning for so many things.
The original Heinz ketchup, which is obviously been adulterated over time, was tomato, spices, tomato, salt, sugar, spices. So that was original ketchup. So
well, what is it now?
It just has a lot of additives.
Does it? You know what? I haven't looked.
I promise.
I don't doubt you. But
that was the original. So you've got your tomatoes, you've got your salt, you've got your sugar.
No, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Voila.
Other thing is, it was only the second. Widely distributed food product to get an Orthodox Union stamp on it. That's called a Heksher. The first product was a Heinz product, too, vegetarian beans. You remember them?
Yep, absolutely.
In the old days, when you went into a kosher delicatessen, there were shelves behind the people behind the counter that was lined up with Heinz vegetarian beans. And that was the first product. I think it was 1923 or 24 that Heinz started putting the OU symbol on that product. By the way, the OU symbol, which stands for Orthodox Union, still stands. It's still the main agent to approve kosher foods. And so many products. By the way, many years ago, I went to one of these big food fairs, and everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people were promoting the idea that their product was kosher, even though it had nothing to do with anything Jewish. It might have been totally in ballpark, you know, out there in the outfield. But anyway, I was told in some countries in the world, having a kosher symbol on the product to them means it has purity. Of course, that's BS, but anyway, back to Heinz. So Heinz ketchup, I've got to find this recipe too. Heinz ketchup was used to sauce spaghetti. You know, there's a lot of old Jews, maybe they're dead already, they're so old, who grew up on spaghetti dressed with ketchup instead of tomato sauce. I've never tried it myself, but I do have a memory of my father didn't like one of his cousins. And if you asked him why he didn't like Muriel, he would say because she puts ketchup in her chicken soup, meaning she at the table would squeeze ketchup into her bowl of chicken soup, which my father thought was sort of gross. Actually, not that bad a thing to do.
No, but, I remember that on two sides, my mother, she was a tomato sauce. Not a ketchup for spaghetti. I just can't remember which one it was, but you know, decades ago. But we had a couple doors down, friend who did indeed put ketchup on the spaghetti. That was, and she was baffled.
Well,
the neighbor.
My mother was baffled. I have one grandmother. I have two grandmothers that cooked, but my father's mother cooked more American than my other grandmother, and my more American grandmother, interestingly, made pot roast with ketchup. We all remember this. It was sweet and sour brisket, you know. Anyway, so I want to tell you about this ketchup. I've got to find the recipe here. But it's here. I know because I saw it this morning. Here it is. So, anyway, you start it, if I remember. I'm not looking at it yet. But if I remember, you start it by making actually a little broth. You chunk up some meat, you know, anything you would use for stew, like chuck. Cut it into nice big chunks, put it in a nice big pot, meaning like a 5-quart pot, with 4 quarts of water and a tablespoon of salt, don't be afraid, a tablespoon of salt, and simmer the meat for about an hour. Now you're going to have not yet tender meat, but you're going to have very nice broth to start off your soup. Then shred up medium head of cabbage, 2.5 to 3 pound head of cabbage. By the way, I bought this gorgeous head of cabbage that had these magnificent dark green outer leaves. Don't eat them. They're very tough. So I took the outside leaves off before I cored and shredded my cabbage. And you put that in your now you have beef broth with 1.5 cups. A lot of ketchup. In addition, a 6-ounce can of tomato paste, which is a big can of tomato paste. And even with the sweetness of the ketchup, I bet you it's made with corn syrup.
Oh, it's got
corn syrup.
I'm restraining myself from getting the list.
No, you know, it's okay. We're allowed a little junk in our lives.
Yeah, there's so much junk in there, you'd be scared.
Well, you know, you can buy other ketchup, and I'm not sure that Heinz doesn't have a ketchup, you know, that's much purer than the one that they sell as their regular ketchup. But there are other brands of tomato ketchup out there. They're all sweet and sour because they're all imitating Heinz, and you can use any kind. But you still have to sweeten it up a little bit, I find. So, if you're against sugar, you're not going to eat this. Add a couple tablespoons of sugar. It could be brown sugar. That's a nice taste. And, of course, you're going to add some pepper. And you're going to let this simmer for at least another hour and a half to 2 hours. The cabbage, of course, will be very well cooked. But the meat will also be very tender. This is best, I have to say, if you make it a day ahead. Put it in the refrigerator, and the day that you're going to, a day or two later when you're going to actually reheat it and eat it, skim off any fat that's on the top. Because if the meat wasn't super lean, which it doesn't have to be by any means, it's going to have some fat. And that's it. It's really good. We used to eat this with challah, because I love dunking the challah into the sweet and sour soup. I'm getting hungry.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm tempted to make some stuffed cabbage, but I remembered back in my brain that years ago I made something I called unstuffed cabbage when I decided I was too lazy to be making cabbage rolls. And I searched a little bit, and I discovered it's in my first cookbook, 1978. So the way I cooked in 1978 is almost 50 years ago, is not the way I cook today. I've learned some things, happy to say, in 50 years. But I still would make this cabbage borscht, and I'm going to try to make the unstuffed cabbage. This is something I was thinking about this morning. The unstuffed cabbage recipe I have is made with a base of sauerkraut. Now, here's a prediction. I predict that sauerkraut is going to be the next kimchi. What I mean is, a lot of people are eating kimchi, the fermented Korean cabbage, usually very spicy. Oh, by the way, kimchi can be made with vegetables other than cabbage as well. But they're all fermented. And that makes them probiotic. So a lot of people are eating kimchi because it's probiotic. But you know, good old sauerkraut is probiotic as well. And my unstuffed cabbage, you basically are making a sauce, a sweet and sour tomato sauce based on sauerkraut. And then in that sauce, you simmer meatballs that have been made with rice as the starch in the rice. Now, my original recipe from 1978, I don't put things in cookbooks unless I'm actually cooking it in my life, so I probably was making that sort of frequently. The meatballs, I think they're going to, if you followed that recipe, they would turn out not as tender as we would like meatballs to be these days. So even though I do still use the rice, I par cook the rice. I don't trust recipes. There was in the 50s, a popular thing was called porcupine meatballs, and it was meatballs made with rice, and of course some little bits of rice would stick out and make it say, "Oh, porcupine meatball." But sometimes the rice doesn't get tender, which is really awful. So boiling water, put the rice in for 3 minutes in boiling water and drain it, and then incorporate it into the meatballs. But also to make them more tender, which the rice does not really do, I add breadcrumbs, egg, of course, to hold the whole thing together, salt, pepper. And my Jewishy flavoring here is grated onion, raw onion grated on the coarse side of a grater and incorporated into your meatballs. Make little meatballs for unstuffed cabbage, not bigger than a golf ball, and just, you don't have to brown them or anything, just simmer them in this sweet and sour tomato sauce you've made based on sauerkraut. It's very good when it's done well. Salt and pepper, of course. And by the way, again, brown sugar maybe in your sauce gives a very nice flavor. My grandmother used, I think, like, you know, my grandmother didn't use fresh tomatoes ever. And by the way, in those days, the tomatoes were pretty awful. Even in the middle of the summer, you had to go out of your way to find a good tomato. Don't we all remember when tomatoes came in those little cellophane trays from Florida, and they were as hard as a rock and probably pretty mealy inside? Even our bad tomatoes are better than that these days. Anyway, tomato and cabbage season. So because I was going to talk about this today, I went on social media to see what was there about cabbage, and I discovered that cutting cabbage into wedges, meaning don't take the core out, let the core hold it all together, and then seared in oil and then baked in the oven seems to be a rage. I saw so many recipes that started with wedges of cabbage. In one case, baked in the oven. In another case, browned in a pan and then topped with various things and baked in the oven. And if you're on social media, go take a look, because wedged cabbage is taking over the world. Yeah.
Probably a relative, a cousin of wedged iceberg. We have to add, don't forget, wasn't there originally, and there probably still is, vinegar in ketchup?
Yeah, sweet and sour.
Yeah. So there's your sweet and sour.
Yeah, that's really how it gets to be sweet and sour. The sour is not the tomatoes, it's added vinegar. I have to go, I have a bottle of Heinz in the cabinet here, actually in the refrigerator. I should take a look. Okay. I don't usually use ketchup. The only thing I really want ketchup on is a hamburger. Bob puts it on other things. I do make, from time to time, Russian dressing with it.
Right.
I do like that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because, let's just say the ingredients are different now in things that you grew up with and cooked with for years that you didn't think anything of. And...
I'm going to say cabbage was taken for granted in my youth. But these days we acknowledge that it's extremely healthy. That whole family of vegetables, the cruciferous vegetables, cabbage, broccoli, what else is in the family? And then, by the way, there's a number of different kinds of cabbage. I buy mainly plain old green cabbage. Every once in a while when I see a good head of Savoy, I buy Savoy. Savoy could be ever so slightly sweeter. Not much difference, though, with regular green. And I do use red cabbage from time to time. That's another story altogether, though. And we need to say goodbye and have a good cabbage and tomato week.
Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch, on Robin Hood Radio.